Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Do you ever wonder why we say that phrase, "He is risen, he is risen indeed," so much on Easter Sunday? We began our worship service by saying it. Our hymns have mentioned it. Even the banner right above me mentions a part of that phrase. So why do we say, he is risen indeed, so often on Easter Sunday? Well, the reason the Christian church has stressed saying this is because it is a public confession. We truly believe that Christ is risen and that he is risen indeed. This isn't a fairy tale. It's not a made-up story. We are stating that it is a fact. But sadly, there are many people who do not believe in the resurrection, and they have offered many different theories to explain why the tomb was empty. Some will say it was the disciples who came and stole Jesus' body and hid it somewhere else. Some will say that Jesus didn't die on the cross, but he fell into a coma, and then on Easter Sunday he woke up and escaped his tomb. Others say that the women and the disciples hallucinated that they saw Jesus. And still others say that the reason that the tomb was empty was because the women and the disciples went to the wrong tomb. Now, these theories may seem very foolish to us, but many people believe them. And what a shame that is. If any of these theories were true, then where is the comfort? What's the point of believing in Jesus? There is no comfort. There is no point in believing in him. But Christ is not dead. He is risen. He is risen indeed. His resurrection is the source of all comfort, joy, and peace, for Christ's resurrection guarantees salvation. Today we look at Paul's words from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This chapter has been nicknamed the Great Resurrection Chapter of the Bible. Paul talks so much about the resurrection here, and not just the resurrection of Jesus, but also our resurrection as well. But why did Paul stress the resurrection so much in this chapter? Well, it's because there were people in the Corinthian congregation who were preaching and teaching that Christ had not been raised. Therefore, Paul told them, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain." Paul wanted to remind the Corinthians the gospel that he preached to them, and that by believing in this gospel they would be saved. But if they didn't believe it, then they were believing in vain, and therefore they were not saved. So what was the gospel that Paul preached to them? "What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." This is the gospel message. This is the very heart and core and foundation of our faith. According to the Scriptures, Jesus had to die. For the prophet Ezekiel said, "The soul who sins will surely die." This is the punishment for our sins. For the wages of sin is death. Even if you lived a perfect life, but you messed up on just one point, you are still worthy of death. Not just physical, but also eternal death. Therefore, if someone were to save us, someone needed to die for us. All of our sins were placed on Christ on his cross. He was crushed for our iniquities, and he was pierced for our transgressions. He gave up his soul, and he was buried. But not only did Scripture make it very clear that Jesus had to die, Scripture also made it very clear that Christ would rise from the dead. Psalm 16 says, "You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." When Jesus rose from the dead, it fulfilled Scripture. Let us understand why this is so important. God gave so many prophecies about the Savior that if Jesus forgot to fulfill just one of those prophecies, then God is a liar. He is not trustworthy, and he's a sinner. If Jesus had not fulfilled every prophecy in the Bible, then God would not have raised him from the dead, for he would have failed. And if our Savior is dead, then we are dead in our sins. But Christ is not dead. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ's resurrection guarantees salvation because it fulfilled Scripture. Christ's resurrection was God's stamp of approval for everything that Christ did. And a way that he allowed us to see this was by removing the stone from the tomb. He did not do this to let Jesus out, but to allow others to enter and to see that the tomb was empty. But here's the thing about the empty tomb. It only proves that it was empty. It didn't explain why it was empty. Just imagine if Jesus never appeared to anyone after his resurrection. There would be no comfort. The disciples would constantly be wondering what had happened, and they would constantly be in sadness. Just like Mary Magdalene, who saw the empty tomb, but she broke down into tears. But Jesus appeared to his followers to show them that his resurrection guarantees salvation, for it proves that he is alive. He appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also. On the evening of that first Easter Sunday, Jesus appeared to his disciples. And even though one of them, Thomas, had his doubts, Jesus proved that he truly was alive. They could touch his body. They could put their fingers into the nail marks. And they even saw Jesus eat with them. Jesus proved to his disciples that he was alive. But now imagine if Jesus only appeared to his disciples. People would have thought that the disciples had made this up and they fabricated the story. But Jesus also appeared to 500 people at the same time. Therefore, if the people didn't believe what the disciples were saying, they could ask one of those people who are still alive to know that the resurrection truly happened. And now I'm willing to bet that every single one of us wishes that we could have been there to see our risen Lord. After all, it would make defending our faith and defending the resurrection a whole lot easier if we saw Jesus alive. Well, first of all, understand that our faith and our confession are in no way less than those who saw the resurrected Lord. For even Jesus himself said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And second of all, our faith and our confession of the resurrection are proof that Jesus is alive. If we didn't believe in the resurrection, then we wouldn't believe in Scripture. If we didn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, we wouldn't be here praising him this morning. But here we are. We believe that Christ rose from the dead because God has given us faith in our living and resurrected Savior. What a blessing it is that we believe that Christ's resurrection guarantees salvation, for it proves that he is alive. But not only does Christ's resurrection guarantee salvation because it fulfilled Scripture and it proves that he is alive, but it guarantees us one more thing. Since he lives, we will live forever. And if there's any doubt about this, look at Paul. Paul said, "Last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born, for I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Did you notice how Paul described himself here? He called himself one who was abnormally born. What does that mean? Very literally, Paul was describing himself as a stillborn infant. He viewed himself as being completely worthless and did not deserve to be called an apostle, for he persecuted the Christian church. He put Christians into jail and he even murdered some of them. He didn't believe in Jesus as the Savior. He didn't believe in the resurrection. He wanted nothing to do with Christianity. But then one day, our resurrected Lord appeared to Paul. He brought him to faith and forgave him his sins. This amazing act of love was something that Paul held on to very dearly. But even though he knew that God had forgiven him, the memories of what he had done stuck with him. And in some ways, we are just like Paul. We know how sinful we are. There are the memories of the horrible things that we have done that we don't like to talk about. There are the memories of the horrible things that we have done that no one else knows about. And there are the memories of the horrible things that we still do each and every day. These memories can lead us to despair. These memories can lead us to doubt that God could ever forgive us. It can lead us to think that there's no way that God would still want to call us his own. And it certainly is true that we don't deserve his forgiveness. It is certainly true that we don't deserve to be called children of God. It is certainly true that God should let us die in our sins and have nothing to do with us. But even though that is all certainly true, Paul throughout Scripture tells us that this is most certainly true. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Sinners like you and me. He was delivered over to death for our sins, but he was also raised to life for our justification. He rose from the dead to declare us not guilty of our sins. And therefore, everyone who believes in Christ receives his forgiveness and receives eternal life. For Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies." Christ's resurrection guarantees salvation, for we will live with him forever. It is the message of the resurrection that brings us all comfort, joy, and peace. It brings us comfort, joy, and peace because his resurrection fulfilled Scripture. His resurrection proves that he is alive. His resurrection assures us that we will live forever. Salvation is ours, and Christ's resurrection guarantees it. For he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia and amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.